Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two as we roll along this morning. Glad to be with us. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Also, we'll get more information from the Combine. The draft is still 2 months away, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Yesterday, a big game in the NBA just in terms of a matchup. Right. Yeah, it's getting to the stretch run, and teams are vying for positioning. But Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns went to Dallas, played Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Mavericks. And these teams, they're kind of going in different directions with their new acquisitions, right? Kevin Durant has been an absolute boost to the Suns. Him and Devin Booker have been absolutely amazing together. The teammates are just, they're feeding off each other. They're scoring off each other. It's a match made in Western Conference heaven. They're 3-0. They're starting to look like the best team in the Western Conference now. Denver better be careful because they're the number one seed, but they might not even make it to the finals. They're probably still secure the number one seed, but you know, I wouldn't want to face that Phoenix Suns team in a best of seven series. But the Mavericks are kind of going in the opposite direction. The Mavericks are just 2-5 in seven games when Kyrie and Luka are both on the floor together since Kyrie's acquisition, and they lose yesterday. Now, a lot has been made of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving not coming together at all. They did not hug. They didn't even say goodbye. And that wasn't all that surprising. I think Durant and Kyrie, when Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn, he wanted Kyrie to join him. And then that didn't work out. And while I can't imagine Kevin Durant not being unhappy with being in Phoenix because of a trade, I mean, he's got Devin Booker, he's got DeAndre Ayton. Chris Paul, even though he's not as effective, is still a veteran leader. I'm sure he's very thrilled that he's in Phoenix. But I know he would have been very happy had the Brooklyn Nets situation worked out the way he thought it was going to work out when he went there in the first place. Like, in his mind, he should be in Brooklyn, Kyrie should be feeding him the basketball, James Harden should be there as well, and the three of them should be winning a championship. And I think when he thinks of Kyrie now, he thinks of the main reason all three are playing for three different teams right now. So I'm not surprised by that. I know people were like, oh my God, they were friends. If your situation is different directly, and you can directly relate, blame somebody for it, yeah, it's going to change the way you look at that person. And again, I'm not saying Kevin Durant is unhappy with Phoenix. I do not want to be misconstrued here, because he is. I mean, you can tell he's playing on a team that's got young talent. Like I said, a veteran in Chris Paul. They're one of the favorites now in the Western Conference. I'm sure he's thrilled, but it's not plan A. It's plan B. Plan A was getting Brooklyn to a championship. Plan A was having three superstars in New York winning a title ahead of the Knicks. That was the plan. That's why he went there. And Kyrie blew it up because Kyrie went all Kyrie on him. Right? All sorts of reasons. But in the end, why did Brooklyn break it all down? And why did it force Kevin Durant to go, fine, I want out too? Right? It's because of Kyrie. So I wasn't surprised by that. It's going to be, again, Dallas. This is a tough trade because on the one hand, you can play Monday morning quarterback all you want. We do that in sports all the time where we see something develop and then it doesn't work out. And then we all say, well, they should have seen it before. Right. But the reality of it is you want to make a push with Luka Doncic. You look and you say, I got an MVP level guy here. I got one of the best players in the league here. But we're not a great team around him. And I know how this league works. And I've got to get a superstar around him. No, I can build and build and get young talent, but I'm not going to be able to do anything unless I build a team. Look, even the Lakers, a struggling Lakers team that is finding their way, trying to fight their way into the top 10, still when healthy, when fully healthy, and they're not right now, have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Even they have two players that are solid stars. We have one. I need another one. I'm not going to be able to win an NBA championship with one star. I need two. So this made sense at the time. It's not working out now. And that's very problematic. Because you gave up Dorian Finney-Smith. You gave up two defensive players in this deal. Right? And you're not playing a good enough defense, and right now you're starting to fall back down into the bottom four of the top 10, which puts you in the play-in game. Now, what's good for them is that the separation between the Sacramento Kings, or you can't even go higher, Memphis Grizzlies, all the way down to the Utah Jazz. So from 2 to 10, or if you want to go even further, 2 to 11 with the Lakers, is 7 games. That's the separation. 7 games from Memphis at 2 to the Lakers at 11. 8 games if you want to go from Memphis at 2 all the way down to 13 in the Portland Trailblazers. So there's a lot of movement that can happen, the ebb and flow. We talk about Golden State, for example. Golden State has played about 500 basketball all season long, right? But they've gotten a little bit warmer. They lost to the Lakers yesterday, but they're getting a little bit warmer, and they've moved up from play-in level to 5 in the Western Conference. Phoenix is just a couple of games behind Sacramento for third. Right, so there's a lot of there can be a lot of movement here for the Mavericks, for the Clippers who are struggling, right? For New Orleans who's trying to climb up, for the Lakers to get back into this thing. There's a lot of, it doesn't take long. In a week, week and a half, you can go from 10th to 7th. You can go from 7th to 5th. I mean, there's a lot of movement here. But if you're Phoenix, you just want to get in the top 4, so you host the first round of the games and then let it play out the way it is. Right? Denver's sort of running away with the West right now. They've won 8 of their last 10. Nikola Jokic just pours in a triple-double every single night, it feels like. Again, the players around him are outstanding. They are incredible at home. They're 29-4 at home this year. So let Denver run away with this. That's fine. You're not chasing Denver. You're just chasing position. So if you're Dallas, you still got time to figure this out and be a playoff threat. But I don't think they're a playoff threat. Because they're not going to be playing good defense. And even offensively, they're not as strong. So, I mean, they had 82. The two guys, Kyrie and Luka, combined for 82 the other night. And they still looked incredibly vulnerable. But, again, you had, Doncic, Devin Booker trading barbs yesterday and smiling. I don't know what that was about. But it will make for an interesting matchup in the playoffs, would it? I mean, wouldn't it? If Dallas is in the play-in tournament and they end up somehow meeting Phoenix along the way at some point, who knows? There's a possibility this could happen. Who knows? Then it makes it really interesting. But again, don't be surprised by the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. We didn't say goodbye. We're not talking to each other. Because I would be in the same boat if I was Kevin Durant. If I had a game plan and I invited you to be part of that game plan, and then I just sat back and watched you blow up my master plan, I'd be pretty upset too. I wouldn't let that go. If I'm playing for the Phoenix Suns, and I like my teammates, and I like Monty Williams, and I like dishing the ball to Devin Booker, and I like having Chris Paul in the locker room, but deep down, I'm not in New York, I'm not on Brooklyn, I'm not winning the Eastern Conference. I'm not one of the premier teams in the NBA. And I had to be shipped off because it blew up. And the Nets were like, that's enough. That's it. Good try. And I look over on the other side, and the guy in the Mavericks uniform is the main reason that happened. Yeah, I'd be pretty upset too. It's going to be a fun stretch run, I'll tell you that right now.
We were talking about this earlier about how, there's midseason documentaries going on. Yeah. Or, mid-trial documentaries going on.
Right.
God, I wish there was a Nets documentary.
Sure. Sure.
Because I find that so fascinating about, all the promise in the world that this team being assembled could have had, and then it just imploded.
There's got to be a 30-for-30 short on this, right?
Got to.
Just from the beginning of it all, going from, you could talk about that franchise's history, right? yep. as an ABA team with Dr. J to being the New Jersey Nets. And how many times did like Jason Kidd and that team get to the finals? And then
right.
like, I think it was twice. I think they made it to the finals, maybe once. But they were a pretty good team in the aughts and couldn't quite get over the hump. And then they moved to Brooklyn. They're in the Barclays Center. Jay-Z's got a little ownership. Like there was a buzz about Brooklyn getting a basketball team, right? It's a Knicks city, right? But here's Brooklyn. And Kevin Durant could have gone to the Knicks, but he chose Brooklyn. He wanted that to be his team. He invites Kyrie in. They get James Harden. It's supposed to work.
I mean, you're almost assembling a dream team. I mean, you're right. talking about three of the top 10 players in the world at that moment.
You are setting it up for a massive, successful run in the city of New York. Yeah, they're not the Knicks, but man, you could really take a big chunk. And it exploded. I mean, just exploded from Kyrie's antics to COVID to vaccine, non-vaccine. All that's James Harden goes, I'm enough of this. Get me out of here. And then next thing you know, the two superstars are gone and Brooklyn got nothing to show.
Well, and then you add the third piece to it all, which was, you know, James Harden then being traded for Ben Simmons. You're bringing right. Ben Simmons of all exactly. people to that mix.
Who doesn't do a thing.
No.
Right? Doesn't do a thing. And what did they get out of it? They got a really good series in 2021 with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the only, that was it. That was the series. That was all she wrote. Three stars, and they end up with quarterfinal round of the, the second to last? No, it wasn't the conference finals, it was
no.
semifinals.
I think it was the semifinals.
It was Atlanta advanced to the finals after beating Philadelphia. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up next, we continue the wake-up call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Your Monday morning edition. A lot of stuff over the weekend to go over. So what was the good, bad,
oh, there was
and
so
dumb?
Much.
Let's start with the good.
There was so much good from the weekend. I mean, we could have gone, talked about how Giannis cheated his way to a triple-double.
Yeah, that's right.
Last night,
that.
Where he
gave an assist to himself.
He gave an assist. Where
well
he needed.
Giannis.
He was one rebound short, so like with less than a second, he threw up a brick shot and caught the rebound.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Much fun. Or we could, you know, we could have talked about Anthony Richardson again having a combine for the ages.
Combine for the ages.
But the real star of the weekend has to be Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce was great.
He absolutely killed Saturday Night Live.
Great.
All the skits.
I didn't see the skits. I saw the monologue. So the skits were just as good?
The skits were just good. I mean, there was one skit that has, I'm still laughing about, where he's just a guy in a nice suit hanging out at American Dolls Cafe with
nice.
His two dolls.
Oh, God.
Then there was another one where it was, you know, a couple are, you know, trying to get into the mood, if you will, but he can't pick her up. So Travis Kelce is part of a service where, you know, hire us. We can lift your girlfriend up.
Oh, like
we can pick her up for
pick
you.
Pick her up off the ground?
Pick her up off the ground in the heat of the moment. Or, you know, and then it had a bunch of stuff. There was a Chiefs offensive lineman. Jason Kelce was a part of it as well.
Nice. That's very
but
cool.
But I did grab a snippet of the monologue.
The monologue was great.
Yeah, here you go.
You know, people keep asking me what it was like to beat my brother in the Super Bowl. And it was pretty awkward. Especially because after the game, we had to ride home together. Our mom drove us there in her minivan. It's like the good old days. But even though his team lost after being up 10 points at half, my brother is actually really happy for me. Jason and I have actually been playing football together since we were little kids, and he was always better than me at everything. In high school, he was an honors student, and I got kicked off the team because I failed French. And English, too, but French sounds way better. And then when we were in college, I actually got kicked off the team because I tested positive for marijuana. So it just goes to show you, if you smoke weed and you're bad at school, you can win the Super Bowl twice.
That's awesome. I laughed out loud with that one. I was in the kitchen watching it on my phone, and I laughed out loud funny. I said, that's really good.
And the thing was, he was very charismatic.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times you get an athlete on there and they're very stiff, they're very nervous. He didn't care at all.
I thought he had a line where he was talking about his old TV show, Catching Kelsey.
Yeah.
And he goes, NBC Peacock still has the rights to it. And he goes, you should be able to watch it online, but they said, nah, we're good. Like, it was not a good show. That was a good line. That was a good line. He was good. I'm glad to see athletes usually fall on their face in this.
Yeah.
They're not as good. Some knocked it out of the park. Nancy Kerrigan wasn't that good. Derek Jeter was all right. Tom Brady was okay. But Peyton Manning killed it. Some other players killed it. I'm glad he killed it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, there's it could be a new career for him.
Yeah. And it's good for us. It's good for us as in sports because, you know, the athletes, when they're on, like, I don't watch Saturday Night Live at all, but when they're on, I pay more attention to it, and I'm glad that they're doing good. They're becoming the personalities for, you know, borderline sports fans to sort of go, yeah, man, these guys are pretty funny. They're pretty cool. I want to see what they do on the field.
So, yeah.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
Someone who probably would never usually end up in the bad.
All right.
And I have to, that's Ja Morant.
Ja Morant, yeah.
Yeah, he has been suspended by the Grizzlies. Initially, they said 2 days, but now they're saying there's no timetable for his return because of all the off-the-court distractions that have been happening, the latest being him waving a gun at a nightclub.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of speculation as to what this is about. It feels to me, listening to his teammates, that while not directly saying it, but sort of implying it, this is a cry for some help.
Yeah.
So I hope he gets the help he needs, if that's what this
and
is.
And I think that's the way they're kind of angling it. It's just horrible timing because they're still in the thick of it. I mean, I have no doubt that they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're second in the NBA in the Western
Conference. Yeah, but it's seeding now where it comes down to.
Yeah, and they lost to Denver on Friday night. You know, it was a game that they, could bring it back, and now he's going to be out for a while. But I don't know. Like, this isn't new. This is not new. This is new for Ja Morant. Like, now he's trying to. There was that incident in Indianapolis where the Pacers claim that after their game with Memphis, they saw, like, a red targeting dot as they were leaving. They were kind of leaving in the hallway, and nobody knows what that is or whatnot. But do you guys remember years ago? I mean, I want to talk about this. I think this was 13 years ago. Let's say 2010. Gilbert Arenas brought a gun into the locker room. Remember that? And obviously the NBA, he got in a lot of trouble for that. But legally too, it's one of those situations where you got to, wherever you bring the gun or brandish the gun, you have to be careful. Like it. One of the things that when the judge was talking to O.J. Simpson about his charge when he brought up the gun in the hotel, she did say to him, one of the things that we take into consideration is where you're doing it, like where you're brandishing the gun, because he was doing it in a hotel room that could have accidentally gone off. It could have gone off purposely. It could have gone through the wall and hit somebody in the hallway. And they were talking about Gilbert Arenas. They said, same thing in a locker room. Like, there's all these people running around a locker room. You got attendants and all these other people, media people, teammates, trainers, coaches, right? Locker room attendants. And you're brandishing a gun. If it accidentally goes off, it could hit somebody. Ja Morant's just got to be careful, man. He's got to be careful. And if this is a cry for help, I hope he gets it. And I hope his teammates who love him and support him are sensing whatever it is.
Yeah, because I mean,
and get the help he needs.
It's almost like there's two different ones. There was a viral video a couple of years ago where he gave a waitress a $500 tip.
Yeah.
And, and she had no idea. She had heard of Ja Morant, but had no idea that that was him.
Yeah.
And until she found out, then she was like, oh my God, I got to call my son. He talks about you all the time. And it's a feel good moment. And then, fast forward to this past week, and you're just sitting there going, okay, there's something not right happening.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm one of these people. I know some people disagree with me on this, but when you see something like that, and you see it sort of comes out of nowhere, right? Because like I said, he hasn't done this kind of thing before. He's never been in trouble like this before. He's been in the league a while. when I see people jump to the, you got to be better, you're a role model, let's find out what's wrong first.
Yeah.
Let's deal with that first before you add on to what he mentally may be dealing with as to why he wanted to do that in the first place. Right? So handle that first, and then you can go to the getting him to understand the larger picture of who he is and what he represents. Because to pile that on somebody that may be dealing with depression or maybe dealing with some sort of anxiety or maybe dealing with something where this is just sort of a crazy release, deal with that first before you start jumping on the bandwagon of you should know better as an athlete. We don't know the circumstances that he's dealing with, and his teammates seem to, because I'm reading the tea leaves from what they're saying, and I think they kind of know something's up, and they want to get him some help. So I hope that's the case. But yeah, it's kind of a sad story because I like him. I like watching him play, man. I love watching him. He's a breath of fresh air. He's great. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is C.J. Stroud, who also had one of the best combines a quarterback could have.
That's right.
But when there was a question and answer moment when he took to the podium, he did admit that Deshaun Watson is one of the quarterbacks he looks up to most.
Oh, okay. That was all right. Okay.
I'm sure it's on the field.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those like, well, you know, read the room. You don't really want to go him just yet.
Pick any
other quarterback.
Chill with the Deshaun Watson stuff.
And to back that up, he also says that the reason why he wears number 7 is for Michael Vick.
Oh, okay. So, oh, good.
I mean, he also had lots of good words to say about Justin Fields and Joe Burrows. And
I loved what he said about Justin Fields. So, that was actually pretty cool. Like Ohio State to Ohio State. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
But yeah, leave those other two quarterbacks out. They don't leave great taste in people's mouths right now.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Don't you have people with you that say, hey, listen, here are the best answers. Like, imagine if you went for a job. So imagine you were like, I'm going for a job interview at Acme Widget Company, right? And they need a director of production. And I'm really excited because I make widgets and I'm actually really good at this. Imagine if there was somebody in your life that was training you on how to get that job.
Yeah.
Constantly, right? Like every day your interview's on Thursday. So Monday we're going to go over resume bullet points. On Tuesday we're going to go over a mock question and answer session. On Wednesday we're going to talk about how to that's what these guys have. Like these guys have people with them every time. You're going to wear these clothes, you're going to dress like this, this is how you answer this. Their number one job is to get you high on that draft board as possible. I think they would have said, okay, and if they ask you who your favorite player is, these are the names we're going to mention, all right? But I like, no, you don't. You like these guys. Go down that road. That's what these guys are up to. All right, it's Wake Up Calls. We continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Wake Up Call. The good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up in hour number 3, we're going to talk about the West Coast Basketball Conference Tournament. They got the semifinals today. So they got some good ones. So Gonzaga, of course, St. Mary's, San Francisco. Connor Letourneau is going to join us to talk about that. That is coming up in hour number 3. Conference basketball tournaments this week for the major conferences. ACC is in Greensboro. Big 12 is in Kansas City. Big 10 is in Chicago. Big East is in New York. SEC is in Nashville. What am I missing? I'm going. Pac-12 is in Las Vegas. So there you go. There's 6 that you got right there. Plus, there's some other ones that'll be going on. A couple of teams already punched their ticket into the NCAA tournament. Southeast Missouri State
I'm waiting for you to say it.
Drake is going
in.
No,
not that
Kennesaw
one.
Kennesaw State
there it is
going in.
That's my pick to win it
Liberty.
All.
Kennesaw State making their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament.
They're going
to
win it all, Tony.
They're going to win it all. They beat Liberty, a very good basketball team. But Kennesaw State was right there with them in the Atlantic Sun in terms of the standings. So the Owls of Kennesaw State, who are based out of Georgia, are going
to look it up. I didn't know where Kennesaw State was.
Yeah. Again, Liberty had a good season. They won 26 games, I think. They might get an invite, but it's tight. Like when you're in those conferences where it's kind of like, yeah, there's only one of us that's going, and it ain't you.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough. Like, you go to, like, some of these teams will go to the Big East tournament or the ACC tournament, and they're like, look, we'll try to win a couple games, but we know we're in. You know, we got enough. Our resume is good enough. If we lose in the first round or the second round, we're fine. But some of these desperate conferences that we just had last week, I mean, that's tonight, for example, it is Chattanooga and Furman that are going to be battling for the SoCon tournament, right? A ticket will be punched tonight in that conference. But the loser of that one ain't getting in. The loser of that one is not likely to get in, even though Furman had a great year. Chattanooga is going nowhere if they lose tonight. Furman, I doubt it. I mean, it's just not strong enough. The schedule's not strong enough. So, but, yeah, a couple of teams are already punching their ticket, and we'll have a whole bunch of a week of fun with that. So the West Coast Conference Tournament, we'll talk about that coming up in hour number three. So Ron told me that there's a report coming out, and we were going to just chat about it anyway, but the Derek Carr is leaning towards joining the New Orleans Saints. All right, I don't blame Derek Carr at all for this,
Not at all.
He went to New York and got wined and dined, and he got a lot of smoke blown up you know where, and the Jets did absolutely nothing with that conversation. Right? If you love me, pay me. If you love me, hire me. But if you're telling me you're waiting for somebody else, then you don't love me like you're telling me you love me, and therefore I will go somewhere else. And good for him. You want to wait for Aaron Rodgers, sticky old Aaron Rodgers, to make up his mind? Good. Wait for him. You may not even get him. And you'll be stuck with Zach Wilson. Or you'll be begging the Ravens to get rid of Lamar Jackson for you. But here I am, Derek Carr. I don't cost you anything but money in a new contract. You don't have to give up draft picks. And here's the other thing. I'll actually enjoy being a Jet. I'll actually enjoy being in New York rather than the other guy you're waiting for that may just complain that he's there or not feel like showing up. Or, I don't know, I may retire. I don't know if I'll play beyond this year. Can I go to Mars and visit like another planet while I decide if I want to play football? I'm actually going to play football for you for at least five more years. Like, you can pitch this to the Jets, and the Jets are still like, yeah, I know, but he's... I know, but it's, I know, but stop it. It's like all those rom-com movies from the 80s where the nerdy kid wants to date the cheerleader, but there's like Boof is right there going, I'm pretty too.
I can't believe you said that. I was thinking the exact same movie.
Right?
God, I was like straight out of Teen Wolf.
You want the blonde? All right, go hang out with the blonde and see how long that lasts. You want to be, you know, you want to go, wait for the cheerleader and all of that? Good. But I'm right here waiting for you. I'm pretty in my way, and I'm right here. And in, like, that's what this is.
And I'm the one that, you know, deep down inside, you're going to be happy with most.
That's right. That's right. There was a whole bunch of movies built around that premise, right?
All the movies in
all
the 80s
the movies were. Right? Right. And I know in Can't Buy Me Love, Patrick Dempsey does end up with the girl at the end.
Yeah.
But it was the same kind of idea. It was like he wanted so badly to be with somebody in the popular group that he sort of forgot some of his friends behind him. Derek Carr has every right to look at the Jets and go, what are you doing? Stop this. You want Aaron Rodgers so badly? Good. Good luck to you. But I'm going to join a team that wants me and is willing to pick me up and get me today.
And I think going to the Saints is a perfect fit for him.
I think it's a perfect fit for him. I mean, it's a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, a smaller city he won't get trapped up in. And if he starts performing well, that city will embrace him.
Of course, exactly.
And
you're
won't
right.
turn on him.
You're right.
You know,
and
New
it's
York,
a winnable division.
Yeah, in New York, I mean, if he plays well, the city will embrace him. As soon as he makes one mistake, say he has three interceptions in one game, they'll turn on him.
And you know what? Even if he plays well, and that team's built really good defensively, and there's some really things to like about the Jets, but even if he plays well, it might not be Buffalo good, but if he plays well in New Orleans, it might be division champions good.
Oh, easily.
And that's half the battle right there, right?
Yeah, name me the quarterback he's going to have a rival with.
Right, exactly. We don't know in Carolina, we don't know in Tampa Bay, and we don't know in Atlanta. Name me a division where the other opponents don't know. In fact, all four teams right now don't know who their quarterback is going to be on opening day.
Yep.
I mean, unbelievable. It's an unbelievably wide open division. And if you're the Saints, you want to be a little careful because, like, you want to go, hey, look, let's get our guy. Because I know those other teams are not going to start nobodies. They're gonna make a move to get someone. They're gonna go to the draft. They'll figure it out. But we can get. And this is the thing that we've been saying all along with Derek Carr. He's available right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not waiting for March 10th, right? Where you go, okay, on March 10th, we can start negotiating. You can sign him today. Like, yeah. you said,
no, it doesn't cost you any draft picks.
Yep.
It's just, you know, how much money do you have in your piggy bank, and can you guys cut a deal together?
Can you imagine, what if the Jets hand him a whole bunch of money, and Aaron Rodgers, they send the Packers a bunch of draft picks, they pick up all that money, and at the end he goes, you know, after 1 year, he's like, I think I'm time to retire. The clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, you know that's going to happen to the Jets.
Right? I mean, the moment the New York media makes him uncomfortable or he just doesn't want to be there and he doesn't like the city, he'll be like, oh, I'm out. I'm done. I'm fit. Thanks for everything. Derek Carr is trying to commit to somebody. He's trying to do that thing that Breeze got to do. Like, Breeze was like, you know what? It wasn't going to work out with San Diego. They were leaning towards Phillip Rivers. But you know what? There's another place for me to go. I will find another place to go. He's trying to do that again. He believes in himself. He believes he can do good things. And I think he would be great in New Orleans.
And but if I'm honestly, he's probably not going to cost you that much.
Right. Right.
I mean, let's really think about that. He's trying to find a permanent gig. And I don't think he's going to break the bank trying to find that permanent gig.
By the way, I was hearing somebody this morning on one of these talking shows saying, well, if you can get Aaron Rodgers to be a mentor to Zach Wilson. And I'm like, where did that come from? What are you talking? He's not even a mentor to Jordan Love. What is wrong with you?
He's been a great mentor. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? First of all, can I dispel that for a second? First of all, guys, in the future, never associate a player with their teaching role job. We love this. We love to throw this out there. And you know what would be great? He could mentor the younger kid. They want to play football. They are not interested. That's what the coaches are hired to do. It's not them. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been plenty of players who have acted as mentors because they just took it upon themselves. They had that personality. Maybe they wanted to get into coaching. Or maybe they're just like, yeah, you know what? I will. I'm a nice enough guy. But don't automatically assume that veterans want to look at somebody below them on the depth chart and they're like more than happy to teach them everything so that they could be better than them. They know how this business works. If they can get a cheaper, better than you angle, they take it every time.
Every time.
Every time. Now, don't automatically assume a veteran is going to go in and the first thing he does is, hey, who are the young quarterbacks I can make better?
Right.
No, that's not what they're there for.
Now, they might do it if they announce at the beginning of the season, I'm going to retire. Sure, this is my final season.
Exactly.
Then they might be a mentor. Sure, I could see that. But, you know, they're not going to. Aaron Rodgers is probably thinking about, it's like, you know what, I could probably play as long as Brady.
When I was in Denver, Rod Smith's a good guy, but even he said that. He's like, why would I train somebody to take my job away from me?
Yeah.
What?
In fact, again, I might tell him to do a few things that would guarantee he doesn't take
exactly.
my job.
And by the way, when somebody said that this morning, I was glad the response was, you think Zach Wilson is still in the picture somewhere? Like, what's... Like, they're going, all right, third time's a charm with Zach Wilson. We'll figure this out one day, kid.
He's done.
Like, come
he's
on.
Done. He's XFL
bound. He is bouncing around, landing wherever he lands. That's it.
They'll get rid of him when they can.
They're done. They move on, especially if they get Derek Carr, because Derek Carr, again, can be your starter for at least five more years.
But they won't.
They won't, because they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to fall in love with them, because that's what the Jets do. All right, it's Wake Up Call. Continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. So I had a couple of things this weekend. So Friday, we talked about this Morgan Wallen, this country star, had this concert, this free concert in Nashville where people lined up to get tickets. Friday, my wife ended up buying two tickets. She found a family friend that had two for sale. We got them for really cheap. But my daughter finally got to go see Morgan Wallen on Friday night. And my wife and I basically took her and her friend downtown, and we, you know, let them out at the arena. They went into the state, you know, the place, saw the concert. We picked them up after the concert, and we went home. And we just, my wife and I just hung around downtown Nashville and just kind of chilled out a little bit. But her friend is a softball player. She's going to a small community, junior college for softball. And so as we were driving up, I don't know why I did this. We're driving up. I said, Becca, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I go, do you have a ghost bat? Because Anthony Pepe's promo on ghost bats prompted this conversation. Because the bats, he said, are $500 a piece. And the team, I guess he was talking about another a team where every girl had a ghost bat and a backup ghost bat. So I said to her, do you have a ghost bat? She goes, I do. And I said, oh, really? I go, all right, I don't know much about softball. What makes them so great? She goes, well, they're double-barreled. If you mishit it, you can still hit a home run. They're great bats. But she told me the problem with them is they do break. They do break. And I said, really? She goes, I said, because I told her about Anthony's promo. And I said, yeah, I got a guy on the daughter plays softball and whatnot. And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, they do break. You have to, she goes, when you buy them, a lot of times with the store, you have to get the, you should get the warranty or you should, because they yeah. do break. And I said, really? I said, so then my brain started thinking, is there a company out there that's like, okay, hold on. We obviously don't want to make them indestructible because that's part of the deal, right, is that people just keep buying it. It's kind of like when they – the old story back in the day when they made women's stockings, they made them so good that they had to sort of lessen the product so women had to buy them more often. It's like, do you want a durable bat or do you think the model works where it's like, no, it's perfect. They keep buying $500 bats every time, but we don't have a reputation for durability.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, yeah, I said, I don't spend a lot of money on golf clubs, but every 10 years or 5, 6, 7 years or so, I'll buy a new driver. Cause I just want to keep up with the technology. So I'll buy a $500 driver. But when I buy that $500 driver, I need it to last like 7 years of me playing. I can't imagine if I bought a $500 driver and after like 1 year of playing 10, 11 rounds of golf, I have to go back to Golf Galaxy and go, yeah, I need another one because I can hear it. I can hear something rattling in here. And they go, oh, yeah, it's just the way they're made. So no, she's like, true. No, it's common.
Hey, my son's baseball bag, he has two bats, right? Those two bats, probably about $700-$800.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a voodoo. Now,
are baseball bats, like, more vulnerable to being broken?
No. The reason why we got a new bat is because his old bat was losing its pop.
Okay, so he has an old bat just in case, but he doesn't have two brand new bats.
He doesn't have two brand new ones, no. The one bat he has, let's see, we got two summers ago.
Okay.
And
so he got a new bat.
And you got a new bat for Christmas because that one was starting to lose its pop.
Right. So, but she was telling me ghost bats, they'll break after the first year. Is that true? I can't imagine it's true, but I've heard she was telling me.
If you're swinging it enough, what she might be saying by breaking is that it loses, when I'm saying it loses its pop, it doesn't mean that it's, it's funny because what I was told about these bats is that it takes about 50 to 100 hits before you're really in the rhythm of that bat.
I got you.
Before you're getting like, you know, the full contact and it's, you know, because they're aluminum bats and, you know, they're flying far, flying a lot further than they did that first time you swung it. After a certain time, it kind of loses that air pressure in there. And so you're not really getting that pop anymore where when it hits your bat, it takes off. So it could be breaking in that sense. I don't think the bat itself is cracking.
Like it's like something's rattling inside.
Yeah.
So when they say break the bat, like when Anthony Pepe in the promo says you break the bat, you have another one. Like what I mean, an aluminum bat.
There are times where it can get dented or, you know, it can get a hairline fracture, a little crack in there that, you know, then it kind of just takes all the steam out of it.
Wow.
If you remember, like, you have a wiffle ball. Remember back in the day you had a wiffle ball bat and you would hit it, but once you got a crack in it, it didn't really do anything.
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to, it doesn't stay stable through the swing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's kind of like
anyway,
that.
I had a very interesting conversation on the way up to Bridgestone Arena with my daughter's friend.
I mean, that's the norm. He has like $800 worth of bats in his bag. He probably has another $200 in gloves.
No, it's expensive, man.
And that's because he has two sets of gloves, and then the batting gloves themselves are like $80. I mean, it's just
$80 for batting gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because
I can get like three golf gloves for $20.
But he keeps ruining them. Oh. He keeps burning through.
Why are they 80? Like what is it about them?
This
that
one's
that
just
makes them 80?
I think it's just made a little bit stronger. Like I'm not really sure, but we've gone through like two $30 pair quickly. Because he just, I don't know if it's the way he's swinging it or it's so hot outside.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I get it that these companies, man, they want a little wear and tear. They want to make sure you're coming back to the store. But if you could just find the better balance of durability with, like, again, I don't mind.
And I think you're 100% right. I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they're looking at going, hey, you know what? Let's make this bat last a lifetime.
No, definitely not. No way.
I want them to come back next year and buy another,
because there's only so much you can do, right? Like, yeah. I say this with golf clubs a lot, which is, like, how much more technology can you put into a golf club? Like, eventually, you're going to run out with, like, you can only do so many air pockets and speed traps.
Right.
And we're making this out of tungsten, and we're doing this with carbon, and we're doing this with, like, next thing you know, they're going to be taking meteorites and making golf clubs out of them and saying, the ball will go 10% further now that we found this asteroid in Siberia and we've extracted the kryptonite out of it. Like, there's only so much you can do.
I'm waiting for the vibranium ones.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The ones, the indestructible. Like, I just, like, there's eventually, like, again, I don't buy, like, every year I see the hype. We go into Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever, and I go to the golf section, and I see the hype, and I see the marketing, but I go, no, my Callaway RX 17 or whatever I have, that's been fine for the last couple years. The only thing I told my wife was, I want to get a new driver because I'm getting older and I am noticing that my swing speed's a little slower as I've gotten older. I may benefit from a lighter shaft, a different loft, whatever. And I'm like right now I'm playing a 9-degree driver with stiff shafts. Like I'm not 40 anymore. Like I'm like older. But she keeps going, yeah, but you don't play enough. Is it really that much of a problem? She goes, you don't play enough. And I go, you're right. I said, you're 100% right. I play full rounds with buddies 5 or 6 times a year on my own, just goofing off by myself in an afternoon with nobody around the golf course, another 8 or 9 where I'll just play maybe 9 holes at the local course here where I'm just like, give me a cart, give me 9 holes. I'll be home for dinner. I'm not playing. So she's like, why are you spending $500 on something? It's not like you're out there every day. And I go, you're 100% right.
And that's the way I look at it. I mean, when we first were getting his baseball glove, his mitt, and it's like almost nearly a $200 glove. I'm like, what do you need a $200 glove for? But then I break it down and go, okay, well, he's playing 5-6 days a week.
Yep. He's playing enough to warrant that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason why we had to buy that one is because the last $200 glove finally tore on him. But he had it for like 3-4 years.
You know what, man? It's expensive, but you do miss it when it's over.
I miss
my kids playing. We miss going to the stuff, buying my kids the equipment that they need and whatnot. And my daughter just played her last basketball game as a high school senior, and I'm like, well, it's gonna be sad. We're not gonna be going, getting this stuff anymore. But it is fun while you have it and it lasts. The concert, this guy gave away a free concert, man, a free concert. I was really impressed. It didn't hit me until it was Friday. Morgan Wallen did a full show, band on stage. 2 hours, etc., just to promote the album.
And weather, right?
The afternoon before, we had high winds and tornado warnings all over the city. People kept pouring. But you know what hit me? And this hits me all the time. I never think of this with sporting events. I never think of this with sporting events. But every now and then, especially concerts where it's one person, not a band, the entire city is shut down. The entire city is shut down. There's roadblocks. There's cops directing traffic at the end of the concert. The whole city is just he streamed it. So like places were streaming it. And I'm thinking this one guy, 27 year old guy, shut down an entire city. Just their company made a decision. And that whole night, the city had to orchestrate itself around 17,000 people going to see a free show. Cops had to work that night. what, you know, concession people had to work that night. People all up and down Broadway were out and about, extra busy as people were milling around with the game. When sporting events happen, we see it. When I think about one guy on stage with a guitar, singing songs, doing that to the city, man, it was pretty impressive. It was frustrating getting out, but I was glad at least you went to go see it. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Coming up in hour three, more college basketball and NFL.